take your Bible out, if you will, and Psalm chapter 85. Thank you, fellas. You can come on down and get these $100 seats down front. Psalm chapter 85. Psalm chapter 85. Once you find Psalm 85, 5 verse number 1. Psalm 85, 1. And stand with me, if you would, please. Psalm chapter 85, verse number 1. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. I'll read through verse number 6, Psalm 85, verse 1. The Bible says, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? If you'll look at me, there in verse number 6 it says, Wilt thou not revive us again? I call the sermon today, Your Part in Our Revival. Your Part in Our Revival. Let me pray. Father, bless us now. Your presence is so important. I pray, God, that you would control this service. You know how preoccupied our minds can get. We come to this building. We have burdens and needs and, oh, so many things, Father. I pray that we could set all that aside and concentrate on the truth of revival for a little while. Bless us with thy Holy Spirit's presence, please. Minimize the interruptions. Maximize the power. And do something great for us today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat there. If you're a guest today, my sermon is a little bit a statement, something that I want to say to our people. I'm glad you're here, though. I'm glad you get to hear what I'm about to say. It will help anybody that's here. I'm just sure of that. You know, I'm saddened, folks, at the number of dead churches there are out there. Oh, now, you might say, oh, yeah, they're on every street corner. Just so you know, when I say I'm saddened about the number of dead churches out there, I'm not referring to all the other churches. I'm talking about the number of dead Baptist churches. The other isn't obvious. I'm saying there are what we would call old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist churches, and they are dying on the vine. You can go to churches where you walk in and it reminds you of a funeral home. You walk in, nobody talks to anybody, nobody has interest in anybody being there. It's almost like when a visitor shows up, they're an intruder and they're not wanted. There are churches out there where nobody says amen. There are churches out there where nobody gets saved. They don't get saved at church. They don't get saved at soul winning. Nobody gets baptized. Nobody sings. They just sit there like a bump on a log, barely get the people to open their mouth. When the song leader's up there singing about the great God of the universe or the blood of Jesus, and they just sit there and they're lethargic and uninterested, dead churches. You could tell. You go there and it's almost like the people, it's not that they want to be there. It's like they feel like they have to be there. They don't like church. They won't come back on Sunday night. And they won't come back on Wednesday night. And there are no visitors that come. And if the visitors do come, they didn't like it because it was so dead and it was so dry and it was so boring. And people weren't excited about serving God. That, to me, that's such a sad thing. That's such a sad thing. Boy, a church like that gives our Savior a bad name, if you ask me. God never intended for it to be like that. God never intended that a church be like a warmed-over funeral home with a Bible tucked into under somebody's arm, making out like they're a church, but they're really a dead place full of dead people. Wait a minute. I serve a risen Savior. I serve a living Savior, and I don't think we're supposed to be dead. I was counseling with a lady. You'd never in a million years figure out who, it not here at this church. Her son had joined the military. He joined the Marines. And he said this. What had happened is he got sent to a combat zone. And she, the mom, he, the boy, were both very... They were virtually mad at the Marine Corps that they were getting sent to battle. And so they talked to me, said, "Can you believe this?" I said, yeah, I can. That's what they've been doing with, you know, the military for years. And that's what the military's for. And I asked the mom, I said, "Do you want a free country?" She said, "I absolutely do." I said, "Well, with that in mind, then somebody will pay a price. There is a responsibility that someone must take so that there is a free country." And this is what she said. She said, "Yes, I realize that, and I wish someone else would take the responsibility, not my son." That broke my heart. She said, "Yes, I realize there's responsibility, but I didn't think the responsibility would fall on us." Now, I'm going to do a little sidebar here. I wouldn't join the Marines if you're not willing to go to war. You don't join the Marines to get a college education. Or a medical plan. You may need that medical plan if you join the Marines because you get shot. Sidebar over. I teach the deep truth of the Word of God around here. Here in Psalm chapter 85, we see the words, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" I love those words. You know, there are people who would say, "Pastor, I want to be a part of a church that's revivalistic." Ah, that's good. Just so you know, you have a responsibility in it. It's not everybody else. And there are people who say, "I don't want to be a part of a dead church, and I don't want to be a part of a, you know, like you described the mortuary. I don't want to be a part of one of those funeral home kind of churches. I want to be a part of a church where something's happening. I want to be a part of a church where God is moving." I have to tell you something. You may want it, but whether you understand it or not, there's a responsibility that you have to that. So I don't mind having a revivalistic type of a church, but I was hoping everybody else would provide it. That's a sad thing to me. And a moment ago, you thought, how ridiculous. They want a free country, but they don't want to be involved in the freedom that is made available. And you thought, they ought to step up. They ought to be committed. They ought to want it more than that. Well, let me tell you something. There are people in this building, you would not want to go to a dead, dry church. But you must understand then, there's something that you're to contribute to keep it from being dead and dry. So I was hoping everybody else would provide it. Everybody else can't provide your part. The Bible says in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. Now here the Bible tells us if you've been given much, much can be required. I'm going to apply that verse to this idea, and I call the sermon, "Your Part in Our Revival." I love the song, "We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again." I hear Christians talk about, "Well, I'd like to see revival. I'd like to see revival in America. I'd like to see revival in my church." Have you ever sat someplace where it was dead and dry, and the preaching did not have some spizzarinctum to it, and the music was dead if there was any? And you sat someplace where people didn't get saved, and you sat someplace where God was not truly doing a work, and you sat there and said, "I just wish I could be at a place where the old time religion was exalted, and God was there, and the power of God was there." And you could tell, you walked into the building and there was something different about it. You walked into the building and you could tell it had that revival spirit. And you say, I just wish I could have that. Well, let me tell you something. You have it. You have it, but there is a responsibility that goes along with it. Our church has not planned a week-long revival. I'm not against them. You say, how long of a revival do you want us to have? Right now, we're going on 31 weeks. Every week ought to be a week of revival. Every week ought to have that right attitude. Every week we want to see people saved. Every week we want to see lives changed. So you all know there's never to be a down week. Now, I don't think we ought to let up. I think Jesus is coming again. I think we have but a short time. We ought to do everything we can to turn as many people around as we can, help as many people as we can. So for the last 31 weeks, we've kind of had a bit of a revival spirit from week to week to week. We're seeing people saved by the hundreds. We're seeing families salvaged. We're watching the backslidden regained. We're watching lives get changed. We're watching the altar be used. We're watching our church attendance grow. We're watching Sunday night grow. We're watching our Wednesday night crowds grow. We're watching more people come out soul winning on Thursday and on Saturday. We're watching the bus ministry grow as we reach out and we try to reach new people. Hey, we're watching the offering grow. We're watching people carry their Bibles that used to come to church empty-handed. Now they've got their Bible. We're watching people grow in reading their Bible. We're watching people grow in their prayer life. Hey, we're watching people separate from the world. We're watching people figure it out. We're not to be like the world. We're to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. We're watching that happen. Hey, we're having a modern day revival. We have a revival where God is moving and we're growing. We're growing spiritually. We're growing numerically. God is in this place. But I have to tell you, with revival comes responsibility. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And folks, I think we've been given much. Oh, look at what God has done. We're in our old building and happy there. We'd still be there right now, except for the fact we couldn't get everybody in the parking lot. We couldn't get everybody in our building. So we said to God, God, if you'll give us more space, we'll keep working on getting people. You know what? God gave us more space. And I'm so glad. I just wish you could have been along for the whole ride. We have had a wonderful, we have watched God do some miraculous things. We have experienced a modern day touch of God and revival. But folks, there is responsibility that goes into it. And the responsibility is upon me and upon you. I would rather not say we had a 31 week revival and it stopped on week 32. Now it could. I have watched revivals come to a screeching halt. Bang! God retracts himself. Well, I don't want God to retract himself. I'd like to see what God can do. There's no limit to what God can do. Hey, especially in the day of the naysayers. Everybody and their brothers want to say, well, you can't do it in this day and age. Oh, we're too far into the end times to build a church. Just bide your time. Just sit there and be faithful. I'm not going to sit anywhere. I'm going to get up and move forward. And I want to believe in this day and age, you can still have an old-fashioned revival. You can still get a bunch of people saved. You can still, hey, and you can be old-fashioned and still grow a church. I believe that. But there's responsibility. Now, if you're a guest, I'll apologize in advance. You're not listening to a smart preacher. You're listening to a guy that'll just tell you the simple way to get her done. Now, I want to tell you, we are responsible to keep the revival going. You say, yeah, you are. No, we. I want a free country, but I didn't want a sacrifice to have a free country. And may I throw in here, every one of you veterans, I tip my hat to you. God bless you. You are somebody. And thank you for keeping our country and other countries strong so we can still have revival in America. Let me give you some very simple thoughts. We have to work together. What is our responsibility? What is your responsibility to help keep this momentum, this revival type spirit going? First of all, I think we have to recognize it for what it is. It's a revival provided by God. A revival provided by God. See, revival comes from above. In Psalm 138, verse 7, it says, thou wilt revive me. The thou, that's not you, that's not me. The thou of revival is God. Do you know, and it's sad, it's rare that churches get to have revivals where they get that momentum and that snowball effect where they grow and there's a swelling and an excitement. I mean, let's face it, you all been around a little bit. It's not just everywhere. What a wonderful thing that God would reach down and say, I think I'm going to help that church to have a revival. Hey, not you, not me, it's Him. You better keep your eye on the one that provides revival. And you better get the right idea about it. If God has taken the time to look at a church and say, you know something, I think that church right there, I'd like to provide them with a revival. I'd like to provide them with all the necessary elements to have revival. What a compliment from heaven. Stop and realize who provides the revival. It is the great God of the universe. Revival is not man-made. Revival is not conjured up. You know, people say, I'd like to develop a revival spirit in my church. You better just get God's spirit in your church. He'll take care of that. People want to do what they create, a spirit. You can't create a spirit. You provide a submission to the great Holy Spirit of God. He'll come down and do what needs to be done. And you can't, and everybody's trying to conjure up this spirit. Sounds like something a witch would do to me. I'm telling you, stop and realize God has placed His hand upon our church. And when people walk in, they say, yeah, there is something very special about it. You can tell there's some electricity in the air. People like being here. Well, picture that. A church. I get to go to church, not I've got to go. Hey, I believe God has come to visit the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. And if I could ask, He is the most important one that comes. And you better make sure that you let His Holy Spirit know you feel comfortable with Him being here. You better make sure you let the God of the universe know you recognize He's here. You want Him here. He's invited here. You say, well, what other attitude could I have? Well, all sorts of people that told Him were not interested, and so He doesn't visit their church much. We described it earlier. You've been there where it's dead, it's dry, there's no interest. And I'm not talking about some newfangled, wild and crazy type of Christianity. I'm talking about the old time religion where God's still present and people still enjoy God. But let me tell you, first of all, recognize it for what it is. It's a revival sent from God. Secondly, don't only recognize it, support it. Support it. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, hold fast those things which are good. Hold fast. What does hold fast mean? Support it. Grab a hold of it. Become a part of it. You become a part of an old-time revival in attitude. Be glad. And I work on us about this. I want you all to know, I don't sit around all day thinking, I am just so glad that our parking lot is so full we don't have any place to park. But I know this. I know there's an attitude that I must help me keep about it. And that attitude is, I'd rather have a full parking lot than an empty parking lot. And that attitude is, I'd rather have so many people that we don't know what to do with them all than that there's nobody here. Yet you ever walk into a church building where you talk and it echoes, hey, 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 hey. Is anybody here, 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 here? Oh, I see someone back on the back row, 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 row. But there's an attitude. When you're in a revivalistic type of a church, there's an attitude that you have to take and I have to take. I realize we've got extra chairs out all the time now during the services. And in a way, I apologize, but in a way, I don't. I'd rather have a full house than an empty house. I'd rather, hey, and you know something? If you want, you can, and when I say this, don't be offended, but you can find a place where there's plenty of room to sit. Right by the dead bodies. You support that revival. What's your responsibility? You support it with attitude. You support it with attendance. Be here. Try not to miss a thing. We have become way too casual about missing church. I know, you know, you don't realize it, but the devil's going to fight you most on the services that you need the most. He's going to fight you that way. Well, let me tell you, I can tell you something. Let me give you something in your attitude. And I don't know about you and you don't know about me, but let me tell you something that'll help you. If you would say to me, if I came to you and I said, Pastor, I would really like to be in church, but I'm going to miss because of that, or I'm going to miss because of this. I'll tell you if you really wanted to be here. Did you listen to the sermon online? Or were you just trying to make me feel like you really want to be here? Because if you say, I really don't want to miss the preaching, and then you don't listen to the preaching that's made available, I'm going to guess that you didn't mind missing the preaching and you were just talking. That must be way too real here. How do you support it? You support it with your attitude. How do you support it? You support it with your attendance. Hey, and like it or lump it, we have to support it with our money. I was out soul winning in Canada this week. And someone asked the pastor, said, well, if I come to your church, you're going to pass a plate? And the pastor said, no, we're not going to pass a plate. We're going to pass two. And the person said, oh, I hate them churches that pass plates. And the pastor said, if we didn't pass a plate, where do you think we would get the money to provide you with air conditioning and a place to sit and a restroom? The person said, well, I don't know. The pastor said, well, I guess we'll need to pass the plate. And when you go down to McDonald's, do you get your food and walk off and not pay? If you do, you'll go to jail. You say, why? You've learned that there's a little exchange that goes on. But we'll have to, look, if we're going to keep the revival going, we'll just have to support it. And you do. We do. You keep your faith promise up. Keep your building promise up. Right now, I don't want to say to you, we got to figure out, we got to get some money to build more space for our auditorium. I've been telling you, I don't want to do that. I don't want to raise any more money. I'm hoping God will just provide it. You know, if any of you have any seeds for a money tree, I'll plant a whole acre of money trees so we can get this thing underway. But I'm not trying to tax everybody financially, but I will tell you this, sooner or later, to get that auditorium over there that we need to grow, we're going to have to figure out where to get the money. That's all there is to it. But what is that? It's support. Support it in attitude. Support it in attendance. Support it in money. Support it in words. Tell about it. Tell your family. Tell your friends. Tell people at work. Tell your neighbors. Tell people. Tell people that there's a revival going on. And there is. So what do? First of all, you must recognize it for what it is. It's God sent. Secondly, we need to support it. We support it in our attitude. We support it in our attendance, in our money, in our words. Thirdly, this is what keeps a revival going. This is our responsibility. You spread it. You spread it. 1 Thessalonians 1:8 says, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. God is saying, spread the word. Spread the word. Hey, help others get a desire to be a part of that revival type spirit. Tell people. Well, we spread the word on Thursday night at 7 when we have soul winning, and Saturday at 10 when we have soul winning. We spread the word through our bus ministry and teen soul winning. But folks, let me tell you, if we want it to continue, we have to spread the revival. Now, that's part of what revival is. There is a momentum. There is an increase. There is addition. We want more of God. We want to help more people. We want to feed more hungry. We want to clothe more of the naked. We want to feed more people that need to be fed and cared for and their needs met. That's what revival is. You spread it. You expound it. You try to accomplish more. Hey, look, you get a CD of one of the sermons and you say, I got that CD and wow, that was good. I'm going to listen to that again. Can I tell you what you do? Then hand it on to somebody else. And then tell them, say, hand it on to somebody else. Let's keep the word of God promoted and let's stay excited about it. Hey, you can give a CD to someone that won't come to church. You'd be shocked at how many people will listen to a CD that didn't come to church and they say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go down and hear that. I want to see it live. I've had a lot of people say, I didn't know people preach like that anymore. Well, they still do. And for those that won't come, those that don't come enough, spread the word. Hey, spread the word about people getting saved. Spread the word about people getting baptized. Spread the word about lives being changed. Spread the word about visitors and new building and plans. Hey, I'll tell you something. I feel sorry for people in our community. I'll be somewhere doing business, and they'll say, they'll ask me who I am. The first thing I do is pull out a gospel tract, and I say, I'm the pastor of the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. I say, oh, yeah. I know where y'all are, just over the bridge, and that you got a new building out there. And before long, I'm explaining to them about the building program and the new auditorium and how many square foot of space we have around here and how many Sunday school classes we have. And we just started a new bus route, and they're going, and they're thinking, I wish I would have never asked. I'm going to spread the word. Spread, what do? You want to keep a revival going, you spread the word. You want to keep a revival going, you support it in attitude, attendance, and money, and words. You want to keep the revival going, you got to realize you didn't create it, I didn't create it, God created it. It's a God-sent blessing to have revival in the church. And then I think I would recommend that you go ahead and just enjoy it. Recognize it. Support it. Spread it. And then enjoy it. Psalm 100 verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. I enjoy the fact that our church is not dead. I enjoy that. I enjoy revival. I enjoy the life that is present. I enjoy the good spirit. Look, if you've ever been someplace where there's not a good spirit, and you're in the midst of a good spirit, you ought to just soak it up and say, this is fantastic. This is wonderful. Now, you know, for some of you, let me ask you, do you ever remember wishing you could be a part of revival? You ever wish you could see God move like that? Well, enjoy it. Enjoy it. You get to see it. Hey, enjoy it. Now, I'll teach you something. To enjoy it, you'll need to participate in it. You won't. Do you know I watch? Okay, I don't know who, and ladies, don't worry, I'm not going to embarrass you, but Mrs. Ellswick hosted the shower for Tabitha Reap Summer, and they played some games, and I understand a couple of the games were pretty outlandish. I mean, outlandish enough, we're not going to talk about it right now. But you know, if you watch someone play a game, you probably enjoyed that. But I'll tell you who got the biggest thrill and the biggest kick out of it. It's the people that participated. So you know, when you watch something experience revival, you can get a little out of it. You want to get something out of it? Jump in. Get in. Don't just watch. Don't be a spectator. Be a participator. I love going and watching a good ball game. I like watching a good ball game, but I'm going to tell you right now, give me the ball. I love watching somebody play basketball, but it almost makes me miserable. I don't like to just watch. Let me play ball. You know what I'm thinking? I'm watching a race. And I love stock car races and all of that, but I'll tell you something, when I'm watching, you know what I'm thinking? I'd like to be driving right now. Now, folks, if you want to enjoy something, don't just watch the something. Get involved in that something. And I'm now telling you, if you want to enjoy a revival, don't just watch the revival. Get involved. The people that enjoy it most are the ones that participate the most. The people that enjoy it the least participate the least. I'd recommend you not get left behind. You know, there's some of you, you don't understand something. I'll promise you that when the invitation is given and we're watching people get saved, let me tell you somebody that really enjoys that. Brother Ellswick enjoys that. And Brother Reapsummer enjoys that. And Brother Gronowski enjoys that. Why? They're bus captains. They're bringing these kids in. And these kids are getting saved. And they're sitting back there saying, man, this is good. Wasn't that good? Do you see what happened? Now, you might enjoy watching it, but I'll tell you, they're in the game. So let me say to everybody here, and some of you say, well, I'm not really going to enjoy church like I used to. Let me ask you, have you retracted yourself? Are you less involved than ever? You say, well, the church is losing it. Is that so? Maybe you didn't have it.
Maybe you lost it. Maybe you're the one that's not involved. Maybe you say, the church has a bad attitude. Maybe it's not the church that has a bad attitude. Could it possibly be someone else? You remember back when, I just wish there was some life and some fire and some excitement. Now you got it. Do you want it? I want it as long as somebody else provides it. I want a free country as long as it doesn't affect me and my kid. Let somebody else pay the price. Let somebody else do the sacrificing. Let somebody else produce the converts and come up with the excitement, come up with the thrill. Let somebody provide it for me. I got news for you. This is your church. You're to help us provide it for others. We do this together. Hey, enjoy it. Enjoy it. To enjoy it, you participate. For some of you, let me recommend something. Don't be afraid to be spiritual. It's not so bad. You were created to be spiritual. Matter of fact, it's better for you than where you're at right now. Somebody here needs to, you need to step up. You say, well, if I get more involved, what has to happen? You might have to change your life a little bit. It's a prerequisite. So, you want me to sacrifice? Well, we wouldn't want you to sacrifice for Jesus, would we? We wouldn't want you to need to change your life, would we? Look at everything He did for you. Well, what do you do? Well, if we're going to keep it going, we need to enjoy it. Hey, I think our church loves music, and I think we like to sing. But let me tell you something, folks, just keep singing. Amen. When you come into church, sing. And I might recommend you take it home. Sing the right kind of music at home. Sing in the community. If you're right with God, sing it. What does that do? That adds to that revival spirit. Then might I recommend that not only should we enjoy it, but we need to protect it. We have a revival spirit. Let's protect it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Say, how do you protect a revival? When you got one going, how do you protect it? Well, you can protect it with your life. You say, you want me to die? No. No, I want you to do something harder than that. I want you to live right. Dying for God only takes one bullet and it's over. Living right, you kind of take the bullet every day. You die to self every day. It's harder to live for God than it is to die for God. Say, how can I protect it with your life? Live right, stay clean. Church leaders, keep yourself clean, usable. Protect it, protect it. Hey, dads, protect the revival spirit in your home. Wives, protect that. Moms, protect it. Protect that thing. Hey, in your Sunday school class, don't let your Sunday school class die. Now, we got a big handful of Sunday school teachers. Can I recommend something to you, Sunday school teacher? If a student's sitting in your class and they're bored stiff, and they don't like it, and they don't enjoy it, and you're boring, and you don't walk in the spirit, we're going to lose students in your class because they're uninterested in what you're doing. We have graded Sunday schools here. In other words, we'll say to the first grade boys, they go to a particular class, and the third grade girls, they go to a particular class. D.L. Moody, in his Moody Church up in Chicago, he didn't have graded classes. You know what he did? He had a whole series of Sunday school teachers, and he let the kids and the people go to which class they wanted. You know something? If I had a Sunday school class and I was teaching for D.L. Moody and nobody would come to my class week after week after week after week, I'd probably get discouraged. I'd think, I don't think anybody wants to hear me teach the Bible. Don't worry. I'm not going to a non-graded class. You will have students. But do you understand what I'm saying? Are you excited about God, Sunday school teacher? Are you excited about the Word of God? What do you put into your class? So I'll just quit. Oh, suck it up. We're not supposed to quit to have revival. When I teach like this, the purpose is not to discourage you. It's to encourage you. It's not to get you to say, well, I just give it up. No, it's to get up and do something and apply yourself and decide you will get excited about the things of God. Hey, listen, bus route, keep that thing going. What am I talking about? We protect it. How do you protect the revival? You do it with your living. You do it with your family. You do it with your Sunday school class. You do it on your bus route. Protect it and protect it with your telephone. Say, how so? Watch what kind of junk you're texting. Protect it on the internet. Watch what kind of junk you talk about on Facebook. Don't destroy. You say, well, you know, that's off the property. You can damage the revival at the church off the property. What are we doing? Well, we're talking about protecting the revival. Don't hinder it. Don't hinder it. Don't fight it. And let me tell you something. If you sit here today and you say, Brother Owens, he said, I'm in this church, and to be quite honest with you, I don't care if we have revival. Okay. Well, if you don't care, that's a choice that you've made. But here's one thing I'll ask you not to do. Don't try to hinder it, because I care and God cares, and there are a whole bunch of other people that care. You say, I don't want that. I'm not real interested in this. Let's move up and expand and grow. I'd be just satisfied if there were a handful of us, just enough to keep the doors open. Well, then you're going to be miserable, because I don't plan to keep doors open. I plan to blow doors off. Because I think God said, go out in the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my Father's house might be full. You said, ours is full. I know, but we got a bigger house coming. Hey, don't criticize it. If you're not going to participate, don't hinder it. Don't hinder it. Don't minimize it. It's a bigger deal than what you think. And I'll tell y'all, if you sit out there, and I don't think we have anybody like this, I'd be shocked if there's anybody in here who says, I really don't want revival. I think there are people in here that want revival. I think they want revival in their church. I don't think they want it dead. I don't think they want it dry. I don't think they want it boring. I don't think they want the absence of God. But just in case you don't care, I would say this, hang in there and come even if you don't care, because you might find yourself caring in the near future. You might find yourself caring in the near future. Don't delay it. Don't just watch. Get involved. Hey, and let me tell you this. We have a revival going, and God is blessing. I want every one of us to be very, very careful. You say, well, you know, that this past issue, this right back here, this is holding me back. Let me tell you something. If I were you, I'd leave the past behind you. I would let the revival spirit that God is blessing with go from here on out. Some of you drag way too many dead horses around from the past. Well, this church, that church, this issue, that issue. This is what happened back at this church, and that's what happened back with this pastor. And this happened. Can I tell you something? If I were you, I'd leave it behind. I would get on fire for God right now. God's hand is upon our church and doing something. Don't be dragging all sorts of skeletons out of the closet trying to hurt yourself with it or anybody else with it. Couldn't you just go ahead and have revival? I think we ought to protect our revival. We ought to protect it. We shouldn't hinder it. I want to ask you to pray for it. 2 Corinthians 1:11 says, ye also helping together by prayer. Pray that souls be saved. Pray that the backslidden will be claimed. Pray that we'll have money to build. I'll stop right here. There'd be all sorts of people that would say this to me, Pastor, I am 100% for us getting a larger auditorium. How much have you truly prayed that God would provide that $100,000+ we need? So I'm not praying about it. Well, since the pastor's not asking you to give it, how are we going to get it? Well, I want it. Well, if you want it, then there's some responsibility that's got to go along with it. I believe if we had all covered together and we would really pray that God would open up the windows of heaven. I've seen him do it before. Have you? But if we're going to keep it going, there's responsibility. We got to do it together. Pray. Pray that souls be saved. Pray that we have money to build. Pray that the backslidden reclaimed. Pray that the Holy Spirit guides our church. I wish you'd pray something for me. I should pray that God's power would rest upon me. I really don't want you stuck with a powerless preacher. And I apologize, I'm trying. But if you would pray that God's power would be upon me so I could make a difference, I want to meet your needs. I want to teach the Bible to you in such a way where you say, I got something out of that. That helped me. I even want to preach on your sin. Not to make you miserable. I want to help you. But if you'd pray that God's power and strength and wisdom would be available to me so that I can help our church to go and do what it's supposed to do, I'd appreciate that prayer. Folks, just do this. Don't run from the revival. Don't run. Don't give up your spot. Stay right there. Serve God. The lady said to me, I'm upset. Her son was upset because he's going to battle. And when I asked that question, don't you want a free country? Don't you want that? And she said, I want it, but I figured somebody else was going to provide it. And I said, ma'am, I'm sorry. Somebody has got to take responsibility, and you're as much an American as I am. And there have been people in the past that paid the price to give us what we have today. And if somebody doesn't pay the price today, our kids of the future will not have what we have. And the same thing is true about revival in a church. If somebody will pay the price to make sure there's revival, we all can't just enjoy it, sit back and coast and hope it keeps on going. We've got to do our part. There is responsibility. I call the sermon your part in our revival. Let's keep the old-time religion going. If you're here today and you've never been born again, I want to welcome you to the Savior. We believe there's a heaven. We believe there's a hell. If you don't get saved, you'll go to that hell. I don't want you to go there. Jesus died for you. He was buried for you. He was resurrected for you. He has a free gift. It's called salvation. All you do is you ask Him to save you, forgive you of your sin. He'll come into your heart and save you, take you to heaven someday when you die. You say, I think I'd like to participate in that. Matter of fact, I could then become a part of this revival thing. You sure could. You sure could. God's building an army of Christians, and you could become a part of it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First question is this: if you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? Or would you say, I don't know if I died today. I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me, Pastor. I do not know that I'm born again. Pray for me that I'd get saved. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me. I do not know that I'm saved. Then, let me ask this question. Those of you that are born again, maybe there's something in your life God's spoken to your heart today as I preached. Are you protecting our revival by living right? Are you going backwards with God? Are you going forward? Are you stepping up or stepping away? Look, you say, I want that revival. I want it for me. I want it for my family. I want it for my kids. I want that. Well, folks, we won't do it without you because there's responsibility for all of us in it. Who here would say, Pastor, God has specifically spoken to my heart about my part in keeping the old-time revival going. He has spoken to my heart about something today. Would you raise your hand and say, God spoke to me. There's something in it I need. Something I need. I want it, but I need to be willing to sacrifice for it if need be. You may put those hands down. In a second, I'll turn to the pianist. She'll begin to play. In a second, we're all going to stand. And when we do, I really do. I wish some of you would come to this altar and say, oh God, help me to do my part to keep the old-time revival going. God, if I need to step up, if I need to fix something in my life, God, I'm very pleased. I had folks come to me this morning and say, Preacher, I want to get baptized so we can join the church. We're ready to get in. I'm very proud of them, very pleased with that. That there are others here. You say, Pastor, it's time. I need to stop being a spectator. I need to become a participator. I need to get involved. Maybe you need to come and pray about it for a second. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at this altar, you come. Come and take a second and say, God, help me. God, help me to do my part. God, help me to be where I'm supposed to be and do what I'm supposed to do. God, help me to sacrifice. God, help me. Hey, some Sunday school teacher, you might need to come and say, God, I just need to put my heart into that class a little bit more. Maybe there's a bus worker, bus captain, say, you know what, I need to give of myself a little more. I don't have my heart in it. My heart's not in it. See, that's what I want. I want to be a part of a church where there's revival. I want to be a part of a church where God's moving and people are being saved and lives are being changed and there's an excitement, there's a lilt, there's a thrill. It's not just a place where I can go to get this off my conscience, so I went to church. No, I want to go where God is and God's working. But for that to happen, somebody has to pay the price to make it happen. And that somebody's you. I want it, but I didn't want to have to participate in it. I want it, but I just wanted to watch it. I didn't want to have to show up and do something. Psalm 85:6 says, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" Then he told us in Luke 12:48, he said, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required." God has given us much, so there's something required of us. The piano will continue to play. I will say again something I said a couple of Sundays ago. I preached a whole sermon, and I said, "My name is Jimmy. I'll take what you give me." You say, "Preacher, never going to come soul winning. You just keep coming to our church." You say, "I'm never going to give to the church." That's okay. You just keep coming. Say, "Preacher, you will never get me here on Wednesday night." That's okay. You just keep coming. I'll take Sunday morning. I'll take Sunday night. Say, "I'm going to give a nickel in the offering each week." Give me your nickel. I'll take it. I want you to be a part. But you're going to have to understand something. We need to step up. We need to grow. You need to grow. As an individual, you need to grow. And don't misunderstand the sermon of a few weeks ago when I said, "My name is Jimmy. I'll take what you give me." I didn't say that not participating is okay. I said, just keep coming. I'm not trying to justify the lack in our Christian life. I'm saying don't go backwards. At least hold your own. Don't do less. At least keep doing what you're doing. You won't solve the spiritual issues of life by going backwards. This is the last time through the song. We'll pray and be on our way.